website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian Teaching and Talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a delight to have you to jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we look forward to your comments each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, and oft times I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about that wonderful subject, Beyond Bethlehem. We're celebrating Christmas. And at the Christmas celebration, there's a question, a definitive question, that's on the minds and the hearts of so many people in the world today. And that is Jesus Christ truly God? Is he God or is he man? Is he half God and half man? What say you? We're going to be talking about that today as we celebrate Christmas and this Christmas season. We have a wonderful, listen, I believe we're living in a wonderful, wonderful era at this very moment. God has provided us with fresh hope, with a new vision of what can take place in America with Donald J. Trump having been elected as the 47th president of the United States of America. Have you noticed there's a new sense in the air? Have you noticed there's a sense of accomplishment, a sense of possibility, a sense of things on the horizon that will be different, a change in our nation? That's because God's divine intervention, I believe, in this election and gave us a fresh sense of hope. Listen, our hope ought not be in man, but in God himself. Hope thou in the Lord is a mandate in the scripture. And as we look at the scripture and understand, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ's birthday, we celebrate that. We celebrate Christmas because of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. But ladies and gentlemen, we have sensed encouragement, excitement, and anticipation this Christmas time, I believe, as no other Christmas season in recent past history. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not just because there's a change in the Oval Office that'll take place January 2025, but it's because the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got Dr. Phelps with me. Dr. Neil Phelps is one of the professors in Conservative Theological University, and I am interested in and looking forward to some of the things that he'll have to say to us today in relationship to who Jesus Christ is. Answering the question that's on the heart and mind of many, that is Jesus Christ God? You realize, ladies and gentlemen, there's a number of people, even our churches today, even as professing Christians, that do not recognize the theological, doctrinal, biblical truth that Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. We celebrate Christmas. We need to get beyond Bethlehem and recognize that Jesus Christ is God. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're going on the broadcast today. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion, your input, as we continue this thought in relationship to why Christmas? What do we celebrate Christmas for? Why are we celebrating Christmas this season? But, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the scripture, we understand it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It doesn't change. There are multitudes of those that are promulgating and pushing new translations, new versions of the scripture. And many times, ladies and gentlemen, if not most of the time, there's some major flaws elemental errors that are found in some of the modern translations that take away the truth of the Word of God and that take away the fact that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. But if we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the truth book. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, the word of God declares, "Thy word is truth." In Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about truth. We need to understand what truth really is. And Jesus says, "I am truth." It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Now, that's bad enough in society in general. That's bad enough in political rhetoric. But it ought not to be found within the body of Christ, because we have a truth book. It is the unchangeable, indelible, infallible Word of God. And we need to stick to what God's Word says. And it answers the question that's before us today, is Jesus Christ God? Is he God? The Jehovah's Witnesses say that he's not God. Jehovah's Witnesses, what they call a Christian cult, Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ was God's first created being. He was just simply a created being. He was a man. Mormons say that Jesus Christ was the brother of Lucifer, and that Jesus Christ was a created being. He's not God. And ladies and gentlemen, it's because of the fact we have declined as a nation, I believe, inextricably linked to the fact that we have not properly identified who Jesus Christ is, not properly given him the honor, the recognition, and the worship that is required in the biblical truth that we have in the Word of God. I find it absolutely unbelievable that so many as Christians today fail to embrace the truth of the Word of God. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And that's my challenge each and every day on Let's Face the Issues, that we'll listen to the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. Learn the truth, love the truth. And by the way, that implies that we're going to go back to the indelible first, not the copies, but the first. And that is the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, and Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional lawn care and the homeowner brand landscape equipment, as well as the hurricane preparedness equipment and the backup power backup equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about beyond Bethlehem. We need to look beyond just the babe in Bethlehem. We need to look beyond what is on the surface with the merchandising of Christmas as we find it in America in particular. We need to look beyond that and ask the question, why are we celebrating Christmas? What is Christmas? What does it identify and what does it say? Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is a time of celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we spend time sightseeing, we spend money shopping, and gather together caroling, as it is called. We don't do as much of that today as we did years ago. But Christmas caroling, singing the rich old Christmas carols. Let's remember that the real reason for the season is that Jesus Christ is born. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to join with family and friends and rejoice, because it is a joy to know that Jesus has come into the world to save that which, seeking to save that which is lost, Luke 19:10 reminds us. So that's what we'll talk about today. And I pray that you are celebrating Christmas, enjoying the Christmas season, and looking forward to that time with family and friends and your local New Testament church of fellowshipping around the truth of the Word. By the way, Dr. Phelps, I'm going to interject this. Multitudes today, even as Christians, will say they're celebrating Christmas, and they spend all of their time shopping and sightseeing, and between Thanksgiving and New Year's, church attendance is off more than any other time of the year. And yet we say we're celebrating Christmas and celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus and ignoring the one whose birth it is. If it's Jesus' birth, Dr. Phelps, I believe we need to celebrate his birthday by being in his house, that is the house of God, worshiping him and praising him and singing before his throne. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, sir. If people cannot realize Christ was God, God did not create him. In every word of the Word of God, he said he was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, Satan was created, and that wasn't his brother. That was not his brother. And I don't understand how people do not realize that.
I understand what you're saying, and that is a great question that I've had so long, is that can be said. You'd be surprised, Kenneth, how many people adhere to that, believe that, follow that false theology, that Jesus was simply a good person, one to be emulated, a good leader, a good teacher, but he's not God. And yet in the scripture, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9, the scripture says that Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. And we find throughout all of scripture the validation that Jesus Christ is God. And God came in the form of man. That word form in the Greek text, the word morphe, means the outward shell, the look of man, but he's still God, still totally divine. There's nothing missing. There's no element of the divinity of the Godhead that's missing in the Lord Jesus Christ just because he took upon himself the form of man, that's the flesh, and came into this world to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. But it's time that we recognize that, Kenneth. I agree with you, and celebrate and sing the wonderful carol, Christmas carols, and to worship him and to praise him because of his coming into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. That includes me and you. That includes everyone listening today. That Jesus Christ came. He is God come into flesh. And that's what we're going to talk about, is who Jesus right. Christ yes. is, that he is God. Yes, go ahead.
And Dr. Youngblood, can I ask you one more question when I get off?
Yes.
Okay, do you believe that he's gonna before he get out of office, Nancy Pelosi and the czar supposed to be over our health? You think he's gonna pardon them also like he did his son?
There's no question about it, Kenneth. Very quickly, let me just summarize your thought and your question. Yes. I believe that before Joe Biden leaves office, if he leaves, and I've said for some time now that I believe he'll leave office early, Kamala Harris will take over as president so that it can be touted by the Democratic Party that Kamala Harris was the first female black president of the Democratic president of the United States.
I understand that.
Yes, I understand that, but that's going to be the touted thought and the mantra of the Democratic Party. If that does not happen, That's an outside chance. If that happens, she's going to pardon all the Biden family cabal. She's going to pardon all of those that have committed crimes yet have not been charged with it yet. They'll walk out with a blank slate so that the Republicans under the leadership of Donald J. Trump will not have an opportunity to prosecute those that have brought about so much in the past 4 or 5 years in particular. But I believe that, yes, I believe in answering your question succinctly, there will be a blanket pardon, not just for the Biden family cabal, but for everybody that has taken place in the January 6th fiasco, the January 6th committee that claimed that they were investigating what Trump had done as insurrectionists. All of those will be blanket pardoned, which will probably set the pace that they cannot be prosecuted for the evils and their lawfare that's taken place for the past 4 years. We need to pray and ask God to intervene and prevent that from happening.
Yes, sir.
But I believe that shall. Kenneth, thank you so much, and may you and your family have a merry Christmas. I believe Blake is on the line. Blake, go over the question or comment, please.
Well, I'm actually calling in for a 12 o'clock conversation about the disruption ordinance. Did you want to talk about that now?
We can take a minute. That'd be wonderful. Go ahead and do that, and then we can finish on the theme of, is Jesus God? Blake, go ahead with your question.
Okay. So here's the thing. Tomorrow is the last meeting of city council for the year. Very clearly, what is happening right now is there's an attempt to confuse behavior with speech. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to take people's bad behavior, people who we would consider to be adversaries, and use it to constrain and to restrict all of our free speech. The ordinance number is 2024-871. City Council is tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. The public comment is early on. You can go to my Facebook page if you don't receive my emails. And at the top of my Facebook page is the most recent email with all the details. And if you'd like to instant message me with your email address, I'll be happy to get you up to speed with everything else. It's basically sending you the same emails that Dr. Youngblood has.
Do that. Blake, do this. If you would, let the people know your email address and how they can reach you for doing just exactly what you said. Then we can emphasize the need for people to come and let their voices be heard at the city council meeting so that we can say, no, we're not going to cancel or modify or in any way infringe on our religious liberties and freedom of speech.
Okay. My email address is the letter A, then dot, then my middle name, Blake, then dot, then Harper, H-A-R-P-E-R, a.blake.harper@gmail.com.
Very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that Blake is talking about is a proposed ordinance that the city council is talking about, which will, in fact, limit our freedom of speech. As Blake has said, it's taking what would be activities, actions, or what people do, and try to use that to modify and to restrain our freedom of speech. We can't allow this to take place. So let me urge you to get in touch with Blake. Blake, give that email address once again.
a.blake.harper@gmail.com.
Sounds great. Well, Blake, I am so thankful for your standing in the doorway and assisting we the people, the conservatives, the Christians, the patriots, and our entire listening area, and especially for Duval County. Keep on doing what you're doing. I'm thankful for you, thankful for what you're doing, and it is my prayer that people listen up and realize that we need to stand together, contacting our city council people, and not just calling them, not just emailing them, but being present for the city council meeting, and let the city council know, let them see that we stand for truth. We stand against anything that would modify or in any way infringe on our freedom of speech. Blake, thank you,
Dr. Youngblood. Can I leave with one last comment, please?
Yes, sir.
Rules Committee was Monday last week, and Nick Howland, who's the chair of Rules Committee, does things a whole lot different than everybody else who chairs a standing committee. He provides for public comment at the beginning of the meeting so that we have the ability to speak to issues that they're going to be dealing with. We had 9 people, including myself, show up, and it was very clear that the council members in the committee were listening to what I was saying and what other people were saying, the total of the 9 people. Not just myself. And the whole point of my message is this. There are a lot of people who don't think going down to city council has any benefit. The reality is that is where we have to defend our values. And the reality is, just by what happened Monday last week, that when we go down to city council, we speak with affirmative, respectful tones of voice and messages. They cannot ignore what we've said to them, and these are things that we need to do that we haven't done. So that was it, sir.
Absolutely. Well, I'm thankful for that, and it is my prayer that people will fill the city council chambers tomorrow evening. What time is that meeting starting?
The meeting starts at 5 o'clock. Public comment, you need to be there before 5 o'clock and get registered for public comment. Public comment typically starts at 6 p.m. and lasts 90 minutes. You're out of there early. Sometimes city council meetings can last till midnight, but you don't have to stay that long because public comment is at the beginning of the meeting, and it generally starts between 5:45 and 6:00 and goes for 90 minutes from that point.
Sounds great. Well, Blake, it deserves our serious prayer and continual standing in the gap. And it is my prayer that God will give strength and encouragement and hope and peace to each and every one that participates and takes part in the realization, the recognition that our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, solely depend upon our being vigilant and recognizing when there's an attempt to undermine it, tear down, and destroy. Blake, thank you so much. May you and your family have a Merry Christmas. Thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps, thank you for taking time to be with me today as we talk about this. If someone were to say to you, I'm going to use some hypotheticals in our dialogue. If someone were to say to you, well, I believe Jesus is a good person, a good teacher, a good man, but I don't believe he's God. What would you say to that?
I would say that if we're to know the truth about who Jesus is, or is Jesus God, we must search the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the source of truth. So the biblical answer to the world's questions concerning the person of the Son of God is the teaching of truth that we find in the scriptures about him. So we have the inspired testimony of God concerning these things, and it's recorded in the Bible, so that we can know the truth about the world's questions. Is Jesus God? Jesus is the Lord of glory who is manifested in the flesh, and in order to be the Lamb of God to take away our sins.
Amen.
So we're going to consider the testimony of the scriptures about who Jesus is, and that should settle the question. Now, when people then doubt the truth about who Jesus is, we must say today that doesn't cancel the truth at all. Just doubting the scriptures or doubting who Jesus is does not change the truth.
That's right. You can doubt it all you want to. It's not going to change it.
So we have the prophecy concerning Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say Emmanuel. In Isaiah, we have the prophecy concerning the birth of Christ.
That's right.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Emmanuel? Meaning God with us? Well, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 especially shows that Jesus is the only one who can fulfill that prophecy.
That's right. Dr. Phelps, if I could ask a question here and let you run with it for our listeners. I've dealt with many, many people down through the years on that, and some of the more astute arguments coming from some of the naysayers about Jesus Christ being God. That text in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. I had one astute arguer argument with an individual a number of years ago, and he said, well, from the Hebrew text, the word virgin there is simply the word alma, which simply means a young maiden. So his argument to me was, what is it about a young maiden? That doesn't have any indication that there's somehow, some way, something supernatural about that. A young maiden shall bear a son, call his name Emmanuel. And by the way, that scripture according to Matthew means God with us. But how would you argue that if the person says, well, that's just as a young maiden has nothing to do with being a virgin, and yet it's fulfilled in the Luke text? Tell us about that.
Well, in Matthew chapter 1, where this passage from Isaiah is quoted, the Spirit of God, who inspired the scriptures, said this, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin. That clarifies it.
That's right.
The virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Yeah. In fact, I find it fascinating. That is absolutely factually true. There's some further information that I'd like to share with people, and perhaps our listeners today has some, at some point in time, they've had a preacher that didn't understand the scripture, or a Bible teacher that didn't understand the scripture, and used that as an argument, saying that that was not supernatural because any virgin young maiden can bear a son. But as you said then in the Matthew text, it verifies it, that it's a virgin. But I find it fascinating, intriguing, challenging, and consoling that in Luke's gospel, the first chapter in the gospel of Luke, the verses 26 and following, there's a text there that is validating the Isaiah 7:14, and in that validation, there's a different word that's used. Beginning with verse 26 in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, Dr. Phelps, would you read that for our listeners?
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Notice that. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
Yes. And in that, I find it, and for our listeners to understand, in the Isaiah 7:14, the Hebrew word there for virgin is alma, A-L-M-A-H, alma. In the text that you just read, the word virgin there is word parthenos, which simply means one never having had sexual relationship with a man. And so that God's word validates that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and that he is God come into flesh. Continue your thought, Dr. Phelps.
One of the testimonies of scriptures is found in Psalm 45. Psalm 45, verse 6, the Bible reads like this. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. The wording of that verse is addressed to the Son of David, and that's Jesus. The person addressed in this passage is the Son of David, who will reign upon the throne of David in the promised millennial kingdom. The inspired verse that we find here is quoted in the New Testament book of Hebrews, where Jesus is shown to be better than the angels, for he is their creator God.
Yes, he's above them. He is superior to them. And by the way, for the benefit of our listeners, I'll touch on this and let you run with it. In the Old Testament, there's a Christophany. It is called. It is the pre-incarnate Christ, which says, the angel of the Lord. Speak to that for a moment before we take our news break.
Many times in the scriptures, there is an appearance of Christ even before Bethlehem. Jesus appeared in several places in the scriptures, and he appeared even as a man or as an angel. It's his prerogative to do anything like that he wants to do.
That's right. And in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, there's the angel. The word angel is the word angelos, means messenger, can be a divine messenger or a human messenger. And I think many times people get that confused. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our thought and our subject today. Our issue is Jesus Christ God? Why do we celebrate Christmas? We're looking forward to it. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
The Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St.